the 22nd chapter of Matthew's Gospel and the verse 42. What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? This was the great question of the day in which Jesus lived. And it has been the great question of every day since. There is no doubt about it that men do think and men do have opinions concerning Jesus Christ. Volumes have been penned and published. Debates have been initiated and fought out to bitter conclusion. Schools of thought have arisen to propound their various findings concerning what they think of Jesus Christ. But my friend, there is no need for any debate. There is no need for any lengthy published work. There is no need for any schools of thought to battle out the arguments and to battle out their conclusions. Because in the Word of God, in the gospel narratives, in the history revealed in Scripture, this question is most plainly, and this question is most authoritatively answered. This evening I'm going to do a very simple thing. I'm going to bring to this platform the testimonies of the enemies of Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask them, what think ye of Christ? And then I'm going to bring the friends of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who were allied with him, who kept company with him, who acknowledged him. And I'm going to ask them, what think ye of Christ? And then in conclusion, I'm going to put this question to everyone in the meeting. And I want to know your verdict, your decision, what you think concerning Jesus Christ. We'll start off tonight with the Pharisees. They, of course, were the declared enemies of the Lord Jesus. The proud, hypocritical, ultra-religious Pharisees. Their spleen and hatred of Christ was manifested in every direction. I'd like to put to the Pharisees tonight this question. What think ye, proud Pharisees of Jesus Christ? Listen to their reply. It's simple. It's supposed to be a testimony to defame the Lord. But it's one of the greatest testimonies ever given to the wonder of His grace and the matchlessness of His tender compassion. Here is what the Pharisees say. This man receiveth sinners. This man receiveth sinners. Could you get a better testimony to my Lord than the testimony of the Pharisees? Where would we be tonight if Jesus didn't receive sinners? We would be lost. We would be of all men most miserable. The darkness and blood. spirits, but praise God, Jesus. I want to tell you, friend, that you can't call him Christ receiveth sinful man. Praise God, he receiveth sinners. Something else that they said as he hung upon the cross, Pharisees, what think you of Jesus Christ as he dies upon the tree? And they stand there, and with a mocking sneer upon their faces, saved others. He saved others. My, what a testimony that is. Jesus Christ saved others. Himself, he could not save. Why? Because he was the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. So here we have the Pharisees, and they have told us, what think ye of Christ? They have answered the question. Let me take Caiaphas, the high priest, the man who presided at the Sanhedrin when Jesus Christ was falsely accused and wrongly sentenced, to go to Pilate to be sentenced for the crucifixion. Caiaphas, what think ye of Christ? The prophetic word. Do you know what he says? He says, it is expedient that one die for the nation. It is expedient that one die for the nation. And we read, friend, that he spoke it by the Holy Ghost and didn't know it. My friend, it is expedient that someone takes the sinner's place, that someone carries the sinner's load, that someone bears the infinite wrath of an infinite God for sin. And praise God, that's what Jesus did. He paid it all upon the cross of shame. It is expedient that one die for the nation. What about Pilate, the judge of Jesus? A proud Roman governor to the witness box this evening. And there he stands, hard, cruel dictator of Judea, with all the dignity of Caesar's power upon him. And I say to Pilate, Pilate, what think ye of Christ? And three times the Roman governor says, I find no fault in him. I find no fault in him. Find no fault in him. And yet, Pilate, you condemned him to the cross. You had him crowned with thorns. You had his back lacerated at the scourging pole. You stripped him of his raiment. You commanded him to die upon the tree. Yes, says Pilate, but I find no fault in him. Let me bring the centurion who took his man on that dark morning out through the old city gate and brought them to the hill cried called Calvary. The centurion who commanded to lay him down upon the cross and told the soldier to take the hammer to nail him firmly to the tree. Let me ask the centurion who was responsible under Pilate to execute the sentence of death by crucifixion on Jesus of Nazareth. Centurion, what think ye of Christ? It was by your orders that the soldiers crowned his head with thorns. You presided him when they lashed his back and pulled the hairs from off his cheeks. You were there in the darkness of the morn when they laid him down upon the wooden tree. And I hear the sound of the hammer swung low. They are nailing my Lord to the tree. Darkness fell, and when the earth convulsed and the sun hid its face from the shining upon the cross, centurion, what think ye? And this centurion stands with bowed head and bated breath, and he says, surely this was the Son of God. Surely this was the Son of God. You were an enemy of Christ. You nailed him to the tree. What think ye of him? Surely this is the Son of God. And I bring to the witness stand one who was once his enemy in his dying moments, who became his greatest trophy, the dying thief himself. You, the dying, you cursed Jesus even as you hung upon the cross. Yes, I cursed him with my companion. We cast the same in his teeth. We reviled him with our oaths. But dying thief, let me ask you now, what think ye of Christ? And he says, a great change has come over me. As I looked and looked at the dying Savior, as I saw the blood trickling from his hands and from his feet and from his side, as I saw the tender compassion of his eye even as I cursed him, my heart was melted with the eternal love, and I said, this man has done nothing amiss. Lord, remember me. What think ye of Christ? This man has done nothing amiss. So much for the witnesses from the realm of his enemies. Could I call some of Christ's friends to the witness stand this evening? Let us call the forerunner of the Messiah. Let us call John the Baptist himself. Here he comes from the wilderness, from his preaching and baptizing at the River Jordan. His coat is of rough camel skin. Around his waist is knotted the leathern girdle. His face is rugged, and it's fiery red. For the winds of the wilderness have beaten upon him from his youth. And I say, John the Baptist, thou hast stirred all this country with thy preaching. And the whole nation has gone out to listen to what thou hast to say. John, what think ye of Jesus Christ? The forerunner of the Lord lifts his index finger and he points to the wondrous person of the Savior. And he says, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Yes, behold him, man and woman. Do you want your sins forgiven? Just behold Jesus. Do you want to know peace with God? Just behold Jesus. Do you want to have life everlasting? Just behold Jesus. Let me call four witnesses. They come together. They are the evangelists. They are the writers of the Holy Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew, what think ye of Christ? I have given my testimony, Matthew replies, in my gospel. I have written it down under the inspiration of the Spirit. But think I of Christ. He is the sovereign one. He's the King of the Jews. He's the Prince of the kings of the earth. He's King of kings and Lord of lords. Matthew replies, I emphasize his sovereignty. Mark, what think ye of Christ? I have written my gospel, not like Matthew, emphasizing his sovereignty, but I have emphasized that he is a servant. He came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for the many. I bear testimony to the fact that he's the righteous servant of Jehovah. Luke, what do you think of Christ? Sir, I have written my gospel. I am a physician. I am interested in healing. But I have written my gospel about the greatest healer, not of the maladies of the body, but of the cancers of the soul. I have depicted Christ as the Savior, able to save to the very uttermost all that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for us. He's the Savior of the world! John the Evangelist and Apostle, what think ye of Christ? I'm not like Matthew, John replies. I haven't written about his sovereignty. I'm not like Mark. I haven't written about his service. I'm not like Luke. I haven't written of him as the Savior. But I have written of him as the Son. Son of God and God the Son, the eternal Son of the everlasting Father, the one of whom the Father spoke and said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. The testimony of the four evangelists is to Christ the sovereign, Christ the servant, Christ the Savior, and Christ the Son. Let me bring someone else. Let me call a man in whom dwelt a legion of demons. The man who dwelt on the shores by the rugged slopes of the Gadarene country. Let me bring the man whose heart was a temple of devils and whose body was possessed with the might of hell. He comes from Decapolis. He's no longer a madman. Praise God, he's a glad man, for Jesus has saved them. The demons are gone. And I say, sir, what think ye of Christ? And he says, once I was mad, and my heart was filled with demons. I dwelt among the tombs. I was naked. I was miserable. I dwelt with the swines on the rugged slopes of the Gadarene country. And then one day I saw a little ship coming towards the shore. And a power within me nearly tore my body asunder. And before I knew, I was running like a madman as I was to the shore. When the person of the Lord stepped out of the boat, I fell before him as if I was dead. And a voice that wasn't mine said, we are legion. And then something happened. Suddenly, I was cleansed. Every demon that possessed me fled. And suddenly I was clothed. I no longer tore the clothes from off my body. And suddenly, I was at the feet of Jesus. And I wanted to stay with him. I wanted to go with him. I wanted to be his disciple. My heart was so filled with love, but he wouldn't let me. And he went down to the ship, and he waved me goodbye, and he said, go and tell what great things the Lord hath done for thee. And I've been telling man and woman ever since what Jesus has done for my soul. What think ye of Christ? He has done all things well. He has done all things well. Could I call Thomas? Thomas the Apostle, but the absentee on the day of resurrection. Thomas, called Didymus, you are an apostle, yes. On the day that Jesus rose and showed himself unto the disciples, you were absent. Yes, to my eternal sorrow, I was absent. What did you say? I said in base unbelief and in sin, except I see the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails. Except I see his riven side and put my hand and feel the scar, I will not believe. And in the next Lord's Day, I wasn't an absentee. I was there in the upper room, and Jesus came a second time. And my heart was smitten. And he looked at me with such a look of love that it broke my heart. And he lifted up his hand, and he said to me, look, Thomas, look, there's the nail pierced in my hand. Get your finger and feel it. It's I myself. And then he took aside his robe, and I saw the dark and ugly scar where the spear entered into his precious body. And my heart was broken, and I threw myself at his feet, and I cried, my Lord and my God. What think ye of Christ, Thomas? And Thomas replies, my Lord and my God. Let us come from earth, away out in mysterious space tonight. There are three astronauts headed for the moon in this moonshot. But away beyond the moon and away beyond the sun and away beyond the farthest star that human eye can see and away beyond the farthest planet ever created, there's the eternal heaven of heavens known in Scripture as the third heaven. And the inhabitants of that heavenly kingdom, the eternal inhabitants, are bright angels, celestial beings, seraphim, cherubim, archangels. I want to talk to those angels tonight. I want to say to those fair inhabitants of the celestial spheres, these that have lived in the presence of the glory of God from the beginning of time, angels, Gabriel, Michael, seraphim, cherubim, what think ye of Christ? And those angels suddenly burst the bonds of their invisibilities, and they come down over the balustrades of heaven, and they come down to Bethlehem's plain, and they sing glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards man. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. What think ye of Christ? And the angels tell me he's the Savior and he's Christ the Lord. But let us go beyond angels. Let us take the shoes from off our feet. Let us go to the place where the Shekinah glory of the everlasting Jehovah dwells. Let us approach that light that is unapproachable. Let us stand before the dazzling splendors of the eternal Jehovah. Let us stand in the place of eternal silence where God speaks in a still, small voice. And upon our faces, we would say, O everlasting Father God, what think ye of Jesus Christ? And suddenly the heaven of heavens is rent, and the Spirit of God, like a dove, descends and lights upon the head of Christ as he rises, dripping with the waters of his baptism in Jordan upon him. And a voice is heard. It's not the voice of man. It's not the voice of angels. It's the voice of the eternal Jehovah. And he speaks for all ages and to all generations. And what does the voice of God say? This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? And a poor sinner saved by grace. And that's all I am. I take up my stand with enemies and with friends and with angels and with the Lord Jehovah. And I say, yes, whose son is he? He's the Son of God. He's the Son of Man. He's the Lord of glory. But better still, he's mine for all eternity because he has saved me by his grace. What think ye of Christ? Some years ago, outside a very famous hotel in Durban in South Africa, a gospel evangelist was giving out gospel tracts. In that hotel there was staying a very famous actor. And down at the quayside was a great liner called the Durban Castle. And that famous actress had booked a passage and had a ticket on that liner. And she came out through the door to get the cab to take her aboard the vessel. And this Christian gentleman stepped up and he handed her a gospel tract. And when she saw it, she threw it on the pavement. And she stamped her foot through it. And she said, damn your God. She went aboard the Durban Castle. But when it docked at Southampton, she had disappeared. There was an inquiry. A steward called James Cam was arrested. He was tried and he was found guilty of murder. And he had murdered that actress, and it was found that he had pushed her dead body through the porthole. And she had been buried in the briny deep. Her name was Gay Gibson. A famous actress. What think ye of Christ? Damn your God. My friend, you don't need to use such a blasphemous expression, but tonight, by turning your back on Christ, you can go to the same hell that that Christ-rejecting actress went to. She didn't know that she was in her last journey. And her body perished in the depths of the sea, but her soul baptized in the waves of infinite wrath. For all eternity pay the penalty for her doom and for her Christ rejection. Friend, how is it with your soul? Man and woman, eternity, eternity.
where will you be in eternity? Let's bow our heads. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for giving us help and grace and fire and unction and liberty to preach this message to this people. Thou hast helped us, and we give Thee the glory. But now in the closing moments, man and woman are going to make a great decision, either for or against Thy Son. O God, silence all our hearts right now and give deciding grace to sinners.